Hello dear viewers, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once more. This video is about Steve Witkoff. In case you don't know, he's President Donald J. Trump's special envoy for Ukraine. I think he has some responsibility for the Middle East as well. And he's just a New York property business partner of Trump, has no particularly expertise in either region of the world, knows, seems to me, little or nothing about Ukraine or Russia, doesn't speak any of the relevant languages, just a crony, one of the most unsuitable people he could possibly put in charge of this. It's a bit like a Gilbert and Sullivan comedy, is you put the most unqualified person in charge of something very delicate like this. Even for a seasoned diplomat with decades of experience, who's incredibly knowledgeable about this, who's got an awful lot of finesse, this would be very taxing indeed. And he's put a complete moron in charge of it. Well, surprise, surprise. Maybe he's picked somebody to make himself look clever. And incidentally, I don't just say that all those who disagree with me or all those who are my enemies are thick. Some of them are very smart. They could be an evil genius. Sergei Lavrov, evil, evil bastard. But he's good at what he does. And he's brainy. There's no doubt about it. Even his most implacable foe would be forced to acknowledge that and develop an unwilling respect for him, an old fox with plenty of low cunning. But come on to Witkoff, who's then gone to St. Petersburg and who's met Putin. Well, obviously, the two sides are getting a bit closer, because when he went about a month ago, he was stood up. He was left waiting in the Kremlin for 9 hours, didn't even get to meet Putin, got to meet some junior official. Now, Putin likes to play these mind games by leaving you dangling to underscore, you know, I've got bigger balls than you've got. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to have you in front of the cameras. We've agreed to meet at a certain place and just don't show up for ages, for hours, to leave world leaders waiting. Because he obviously has this crushing sense of inadequacy, which is why he's compelled to supposedly inflate his importance by inconveniencing people, by shutting roads for hours, making millions of people sit in traffic just as an ego trip for him. It's just nauseating. And there's also a very telling insight into his psychology, this constant need for adulation, for all the evidence of his grandiosity, same like Trump, that he's the greatest, is megalomania. And that is the driver behind almost every decision. But they've come closer together, and the Trump White House has probably let it be known that their patience is running thin, okay? That they might do something that Russians really don't like in terms of sanctions or whatever. Maybe they will start to arm Ukraine a bit more. So Witkoff was over there in St. Petersburg, Putin's hometown. Remember, the Americans received Kirill Dmitriev, who was a Putin envoy. Dmitriev went to university in the United States. His wife is a good friend of Putin's daughter. We're not supposed to know who Putin's daughters are, but we do. I mean, they go by aliases, but everybody knows who they are. So supposedly he has the ear of these guys. Obviously, he speaks flawless English. Keith Kellogg is one of the American envoys. They have publicly disagreed about what's going to happen. So when Witkoff's been speaking, you'd think he's reading from some sort of Kremlin briefing paper, because these are the lines. It's exactly what they'd have him say. So wow, are saying really that Russians should get most of what they want. Okay, not the whole country, but the illegally occupied territories, Russia's going to get those. And so on, that Ukraine's going to get really no security guarantees and so on. So there are other Republican figures who are deeply unhappy about this. Major donor Eric Levine said, we've got to get rid of this. And Marco Rubio is not quite so bad. So so other people have said this is really bad news. Because remember, when Russia seized control of these regions in 2022, Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk and Lugansk, in September 2022, they staged these charade referenda and then claimed the absorption of these into the Russian Federation. Remember, the Russian constitution makes it illegal to cede a millimeter of Russian territory and a crime to even suggest doing so. Or, you know, so wow. And I remember an act prefatory to war. It was 2 days before their illegal war of provoked aggression began. Russia recognized Lugansk and Donetsk as independent countries. And I said, this is an act preparatory to their annexation. And lo and behold, I was right 7 months later, that's what happened. So notice other countries' land can break away, but Russia's can never break away. You see the flagrant hypocrisy and illogicality of their position. And then Witkoff is saying, okay, there must be control zones, and we have to give some of some of Ukraine to Russian ownership. Russia illegally occupies over 20% of Ukraine, obviously as Crimea, which they stole in 2014. And it's redolent of Trump's plans to annex Greenland, Panama. Is there anywhere else I've forgotten? Just outright criminality, flagrant violations of international law, willing to use military force, threatening force, even if you don't use it, is completely contrary to the United Nations Charter. I doubt Trump's heard of the UN Charter. But the control zones obviously is reminiscent of what happened to Germany in 1945, and the Allies had agreed, I think it was the Tehran conference, that when they conquered Germany, they would split it up into four controls: French, American, British, and Soviet. And then within that, Berlin, to be broken up into four zones as well. Berlin was inside the Soviet zone, but there was a Soviet zone of Berlin as well as one for the other three. Well, one zone each for the other three within inside Berlin, which didn't connect directly to, you know, the other like American, French, or British zones. Goodness. Now, the situation between Ukraine and Germany in 1945 could scarcely be more different. And of course, it's impliedly because, according to Russian propaganda, it's a Nazi regime. Putin runs a genuinely Nazi regime. But of course, it's projection. Anybody who disagrees with him is a Nazi. If you want free elections, you're a Nazi. If you want fair trials, you're a Nazi. If you want free speech, you're a Nazi. If you want freedom of association, you're a Nazi. You want the right to protest, you're a Nazi. And so on. So now even Putin will say that Ukraine is a sovereign state, because when the European Union conferred on it candidate status in 2022, Putin said, well, I'm not concerned. It's a sovereign country. And then obviously speaking out of his mouth, because at the time he's behaving like it's not, like he could steal their territory, like it's not entitled to conduct its own foreign policy or domestic policy or defense policy. It has to be dictated from Moscow and so on. It's really his unacceptance of freedom, of both national freedom, personal freedom, you know, freedom for Russian citizens, freedom for people anywhere in the world. That's why he's got this fellow feeling for tyrants, oppressors, and genocidaires the world over. But the Ukraine is totally different from Germany under 45. Ukraine is a multi-party democracy with free and fair elections. I mean, even Russia doesn't say the elections were unfair. It's got free speech, demonstrations, fair trials. It doesn't have the death penalty. It's a very humane country, especially considering it's fighting for its life right now, and so on. People can openly criticize Zelensky, and they do. It's got a free media. It's got really an astonishing degree of freedom in wartime, when often there's compression of civil liberties because of the exigencies of war, where it's really that Russia, even in peacetime, it was very oppressive, when they have no such excuse. Obviously, Putin wants to create as many boogeymen as he can to justify taking away people's civil liberties. And obviously, he started wars of aggression in Chechnya and elsewhere, despite illegally occupying some of Georgia and Moldova for decades. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. By his ultra aggression, he's created hostility to himself because of his violent intolerance of the mildest dissent. Anyway, so if there is control zones, that's all sort of delegitimizing Ukraine. And of course, it feeds into Putin's propaganda that Ukraine doesn't really exist. Ukrainian nationalism is sort of an outgrowth of the CIA or something like that. And it's a sham country. It ought to be part of Russia. Demand that it comes back to Russia and stuff like that. Another thing is he's there to save Orthodox Christians, which is why they launched a massive drone attack on Sumy, that city in northeast Ukraine, on Palm Sunday, killing lots of churchgoers, particularly going to the Orthodox Church. Is just sick, you know, and to save Russian speakers, he's killed thousands of Russian speaking civilians. I mean, deliberately. So just because you speak Russian as your first language doesn't mean that you are Russian or want to be Russian. Some of them regard themselves as Russian. OK, but, you know, I've met Ukrainians who cannot speak the Ukrainian language. A nationality is not a language, and a language is not a nationality. Of course, more of them would speak Ukrainian if the Soviet government hadn't strongly repressed the Ukrainian language in the 1930s. And made Russian the prestige language. I've got no objection to the Russian language. I speak it myself, not very well. Whether they have Russian as a co-official language, whether it has no official status in Ukraine, doesn't really bother me. They have the right to determine their language policy. So does Russia. No other state has the right to determine their language policy. So Witkoff is really playing into Ukraine's hands. But the one thing is control zones. That would at least mean Russia would be agreeing to French, British, and American troops entering Ukraine. There's no sign the United States would send troops there under any circumstances right now. Of course, it's not up to Russia whether foreign troops enter Ukraine. Ukraine has the right to make an alliance with any country it wants to. and to seek succor from any source. The Russians do not seek Kiev's permission for what they do, their military alliances, nor should they. And therefore, Russia has absolutely no right to tell Ukraine what to do on their own territory and so on. So it's all very sad, this war. It's all utterly avoidable. It's Putin, as Camarilla, have caused this. Helping Ukraine defend itself is not provocative. It's not pushing anyone. Okay, it's Putin and his criminal regime. They're the ones who pushed people by invading Ukraine, by threatening Ukraine, by carrying out every really conceivable crime in Ukraine. It's all very, very sad. And it was it just didn't need to happen. And nobody would have been killed if Russia would just stop interfering. Sadly, not remotely Russophobic. The Russians are very, very fond of. There are lots of good Russians and lots of good people, only bad people of every nationality. So there's nothing wrong with, it's not like Russian culture or language or disapprove of it any wise whatsoever. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.